In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. When we first went through the story of the Ascension during our youth group meeting, I thought that I might struggle connecting it to Mother's Day. But strangely, I found answers in my Spanish literature class. In this course, over the year, we've been studying stories, plays, novels, and poems from authors such as Miguel de Cervantes, Rubén Darío, and Julia de Burgos. It's one of my favorite classes because we get to learn so much about the cultures and histories of Latin American countries across the world. Also, the fact that everything is in a different language means that a lot of times we just have to go with our gut to figure out what something means, while in English we can often spend hours picking apart and analyzing every word in a text. So this is why I turned to Spanish for my first inspiration. In preparation for our AP test, we are practicing for the essay portion, and the prompt was to analyze the theme of maternal love in a poem by Antonio Gamoneda called Caigo en unas manos. I found it odd that we would come across this poem just a couple weeks before Mother's Day, but I was just glad that it wasn't another poem about carpe diem or memento mori, which is the theme of about every other poem we've read in that class. I wasn't sure if Senor Horn did this tactically to remind us that we should appreciate our mothers, but even if he did, it worked. This excerpt from the poem I thought well embodied the love that a mother has for her children, as well as the love that Jesus shows towards his disciples in the story of the Ascension. And I had to translate it from Spanish, so it might sound a bit off. I felt that the night was sweet and large, much larger than my life. Mother, it was your hands and the night together. This is why I love the darkness. I don't always remember it, but it is with me. Where I am, the hands and the night are forgotten. Sometimes my head hangs over the earth, and my world goes to oblivion, even my heart. And I kneel to breathe on your hands, and you hide my face, and I am small, and your hands are large, and night comes again. In this poem, Gamoneda uses the hands and the night to represent a mother's love. At first, I found it strange that he would use something as fleeting and temporary as the night to describe such love. But then I realized that he meant it as a sense of security and comfort. Not much in life is certain, but we do know that the night will always return when the day is over. We don't always see it, but it is consistently present in some part of our world. And if we look for it long enough, we can always find our way back to it. Peter expresses a similar idea when speaking with his disciples as they wait for Jesus. First, Thomas says, "I know he is with us always." Then Peter responds, "Of course. I think that's been the reason why, during these last few weeks, he sometimes allowed us to see him, and sometimes he hasn't. Just to let us get used to the idea that he's always with us, even when we don't see him." So what Peter's saying is that even when Jesus might seem invisible, he will always be there to guide us if we have faith in his presence. We might not see or hear him, but we trust that he is reminding us to follow the right path and to be messengers who share Jesus' love with those who might need it. And don't worry, it's not just mothers and Jesus who can harness this kind of love. I find it in other family members, friends, teachers, coaches, all the time. Whenever I hear moral advice from my French teacher, or when my softball coach tells us how proud he is of us, I remember that I have plenty of people that I can look up to. Even though somebody might not have a child of their own, or might have lost a child, they certainly still have the opportunity to have an impact on the lives of a younger generation. One of these women is my mom's very good friend, Susan, whose daughter was one of my best friends. Both of them are some of the most joyous people I know, always smiling and laughing, having a good time. In the fourth grade, Emily was diagnosed with MDS, a rare form of leukemia. She spent time in and out of the hospital over the next year and a half, but in March of fifth grade, she passed away. While this was hard for me to accept, I couldn't even imagine how devastating it was for Susan to have her daughter taken away from her. But I know that Susan wants everybody to remember the positive things about Emily's life, rather than the sadness of her absence. I had lots of great memories with her, playing handball at recess, going hiking at Girl Scout camp, and playing with brats at her house. Sometimes I wish I could go back to these moments, but I've learned to accept that I can move forward in life because she's still with me, just spiritually rather than physically. Susan has taught me to do what makes us happy in the time that we have here. Her positive attitude is contagious, and I think it's mostly because she does what she loves. Whenever I talk to her, she always tells me about her job at the Natural History Museum, where she helps run parties and art projects for kids. I can tell that she really enjoys it, and I admire that she is sharing her talents as somebody older and wiser that these kids can look up to. Being willing to teach others, like Susan does, is what I consider one of the most important values in life. Jesus himself was a teacher of God's word, and before ascending into heaven, he speaks to his disciples and says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus tells his disciples to use the power of the Holy Spirit in order to preach the teachings of Jesus beyond their own community. They have seen his miraculous works firsthand and therefore are entrusted with the task of sharing these stories with the world. As in many cases, the students become the teachers as his disciples take Jesus' place as teachers of God's word. As I grow nearer to graduation, I'm growing more aware of my own role as a messenger. I see it already when I'm coaching my little 7-year-old soccer players, teaching them how to share and how to treat their teammates. These are lessons that I learned myself about 10 years ago, and it's rewarding to see how I can be a positive influence on them as they grow up. But now, as I get ready to go to college, I'm looking forward to expanding my influence beyond our local community. I think my parents have done an excellent job preparing me for this new chapter in my life. They've taught me the right morals and lessons I need to be happy and to be independent. And at Berkeley, sorry Fabrizio, I hope to emulate Jesus' love and compassion and take what I've learned from my community as I pursue my future goals. Amen.